And really we're focusing on over these next few weeks on building or developing flourishing relationships. And I want to open with this thought that the most important single thing in the world for every person is relationships. And sometimes we have allowed our lives to get preoccupied. Some of us are more task-oriented. For some of us, finance has been a big issue. For some of us, just how we look and being impressive to others has been important. And sometimes, very often in the world today, there is a lack of awareness of how important relationships are. We have our I don't know what our divorce statistic is in the UK at the moment, but it'll be somewhere approaching 50%. It might even be higher than that, but it's bad. It's a bad stat in the sense that, and I don't mean to be critical to anybody. I've been through a divorce. I know I have lots of friends that have. It is not something that you can always avoid doing, because when people say it takes two to tango, that's true. It takes two to make something work. And so you've got to, you know, understand that those things happened, but there's always damage that's involved in that. Wherever we can build wholesome, happy, strong relationships, that is the most important thing in our lives. And of course, relationships focus on two things essentially. One is God and the other is people. And so we just have to remember Matthew 22, where Jesus is quizzed about the most important things in you know, the greatest commandment. Do you remember that? Number one was love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Number two was love people like you love yourself. So it kind of makes sense. God's pretty smart in that sense, that the things that he said is these are the most important things are also the most valuable things to our lives. You can leave this planet at a later age and with a boatload of money which you can't take with you, or with great achievements which I laud and I think is wonderful. But if you leave this planet having left love and strength and energy and courage and inspiration in the lives of tens or hundreds or thousands of people, then you have a rich life. And not only that, it goes on to a reward. The second point, I don't know if I put this point up, I think I might have. Most important thing in your life is relationships with God and people. Here's the second thing. Love is felt. When love is real, you feel it. If we think we love somebody, or we say we love somebody, and yet they don't feel anything, and you don't feel anything, then there isn't any love there. Now, I'm not trying to make a theological statement. I'm focusing on the importance of the fact that love, when you're loved, it lifts you. And so love is not just a decision we make. It's just not a disposition. Love is felt. If we don't feel anything and they don't feel anything, love does these things. It brings flourishing into people's lives. It lifts people. It treasures people. It expels or casts out fear. It covers sin. It's the number one thing. It's what every person desires. And so we have to be comfortable with, and the church world, I think, has to address in a much more intelligent way this issue of emotions, because it's a very important part of life. And I know that it doesn't help you to live your life by your emotions. In fact, we'll touch on that. But what you need to know is that when real love is there, it's felt. Are you with me? And we got to remember that. And then the next thing, the last little intro point is this. Flourishing relationships are God's will. Everyone say, it's the will of God for my relationships. Oh, gee, you're quiet out there today, people. It's the will of God for my relationships to be amazing. That is the will of God. And these things develop, though. Remember that. Flourishing relationships develop. They don't happen instantly, and you're going to need a few things. Time, intention, work, skill, and wisdom. It takes time to develop strong relationships. It takes an intention. You've got to make a decision about it. It takes some skill. I'm just booming a little bit there, Darmody. I'm not sure what's happening there. If you can try and reduce that somehow. It takes work. It's just hard work. You know, digging the footings for a brand new building all by yourself and going down 3 or 4 feet into the ground and pouring concrete is hard work. And going out and starting a company from scratch and developing everything or doing the software and putting in 10 or 12 or 15 hours a day for 6 days a week for several years is hard work. But there's really no substantial rewards in life without hard work. And relationships are the same. It's a different kind of work, but it's really hard work. So sometimes you're in a relationship situation where it's a little bit fractious, it's not working so well, and it's like, man, this is really hard. Yeah, well, yeah, it is. But it's worth it. It takes work to work at it, but it's worth it. All right. So they're the introductory kind of thoughts, and I want to talk about this point now. The most important factor in all your relationships is this: how you feel about yourself. So over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about how we get on with other people. I think I've subtitled it, How to Get On With Yourself and Others. But what we've got to understand here is how you feel about you is the single most important factor in all of your relationships. How you feel about you, or what you believe about you. Jesus alludes to this in Matthew 22, and he says, and you're going to love other people as you and psychologists and sociologists have found the same thing all around the world, that we love other people, or that we relate to other people, out of how we relate to ourselves. If we're disappointed in ourselves, our tendency will be to be disappointed in other people, whether we like it or not. Because that's how we work, that's how we function. So you've got to understand that as we change, because what a lot of Christian kind of teaching and emphasis, and I know I'm going to go into some areas that are going to be fresh, different perspective, but I want you to stay with me, because I think it's very important that we see how this works. It's different to what we thought. A lot of people, Christian people, good people, they're trying to please God, they say, well, I should be loving. And I should be like this to people, you know. And I mean, I don't like that person. They're irritating me the way they do that. But I should be loving, so I'm going to have to forgive them. And I'm finding it hard to forgive them. And so what's wrong with my faith? God, where are you? And this whole thing. And we've missed the whole point, which is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to be Christian without realizing the love, the Christ that's within us. The change. Are you with me? So how you feel about you? That means, it's true, that you teach people how to relate to you. How you feel about yourself flows out of you and speaks to other people and teaches them how you're going to relate to them. It's your self-image or your self-perception, what you believe about yourself. So don't be discouraged. Got some discouraged looking faces there, eh? Because the wonderful thing is, the more you adjust how you see you according to the Word of God, according to the grace of God, according to the truth of God, the more you're going to automatically adjust how you relate to other people. So it's not a series of hard things that you try and do. It's realizing what God has said about you and really deciding that what God has said is what you're going to believe about yourself. Because all your relationships, funnily enough, center around you. All your behaviors come out of your self-perception. How you behave, we're going to talk about it, whether you get angry with people, whether you get disappointed in people, whether you get frustrated in people or frustrated with yourself, all those things are driven by how you perceive yourself. And the wonder of the gospel is that God loves you so much. And my job, if I'm half good as a minister, is to bring to you the revelation of how much God loves, not just in word, but in power, so that there's a sense of Holy Spirit power traveling on these words transforming the way people see themselves, and out of that they transform. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. It's like, you know, some of us might think Aline wrote it in Romans 5:17, but it's as you receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that you reign in life. You got to receive that. The abundance of grace, the abounding, limitless, over the top, just way too much goodness and favor of God for you. If you don't receive that, it's like getting a Christmas present from God and leaving it wrapped. And then sitting there and saying, I'm supposed to be generous to all these other people because I'm a Christian. So I better give them a nice gift and be kind, a nice gift of love, a nice gift of peace, a nice gift. And you're trying really hard and you're running out of gifts and you're short of gifts, so you've got nothing to give and you feel frustrated. And there's a whacking great gift there inside, which is all the gifts you're ever going to need to everybody else. But we don't open it. Are you with me? So we talk about this. Now, you can understand some of these things that I'm talking about are not all that new to some of us. And that's because this is why we teach so strongly on this whole issue of how much God values people. It's not just because it's biblical. It is biblical. But that's not the only reason. It's also smack in the heart of what is pouring out of heaven right now. God has certain messages that he emphasizes at the time. The current word of God, the current outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's smack in the middle of it. And you can see that just by looking around a little bit, by listening a little bit. But that's actually not the only reason. The other reason we talk about how valuable you are is that the most important things in your life are relationships, and how those relationships develop comes all entirely out of how you feel about yourself. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
All right. So all our behaviors, our love, our anger, our tears, our frustration, our fear, our decision to disconnect, and all the other things that we do at times, some of you I'm sure do. I know I don't, but I'm sure some of you struggle with these things. They all come out of our self-perception. To adjust your self-perception into what God sees, how he sees you, how he feels about you, what he thinks about you, what he says about you, to adjust your belief system. This is just basic faith, really. Faith is just believing what God said. And yet, but to put it in a different phrase, different words, the central, one of the central things of Christian life is to adjust your self-perception into how God sees you, what God thinks about you, what God says about you, and how God feels about you. Are you with me? So now we want to talk about how we're going to do that. How do we make these adjustments to self-perception? I think I've got a couple of notes up here, do I? I've got four simple steps, but we're going to just run through those and then we're going to talk about some things. Are you ready here? I'm telling you that happy relationships, dealing with the frustrations, knowing how to deal with those kids, knowing how to deal with yourself, knowing how to get on with people that are difficult to get on with, all those things are entirely... God called us to have, isn't it, abundant life? Is that the words? Abundant life? That's got to include a real grace on relationships. So how do we do that? Here's four simple steps, and then we'll unpack that a little bit. Number one, just ask the Holy Spirit to help. Pretty simple key. But you'd be amazed how often people bumble through with their intention is right, but they don't actually stop and say, actually, here, Holy Spirit, I just need your help here. You say, well, I tried that once, you know, and I'm still struggling. Listen, you're always going to have some things to learn because relationships, great relationships develop and they take time and they take work. So thinking, oh, the Holy Spirit's going to help me means that it's all going to work itself out and I don't have to do any work anymore is a misnomer. The Holy Spirit helping you will come in and he'll shine a light and he'll guide your steps and he'll show you the best way through. Doesn't mean it's going to be the easiest way through. Somebody already said that today. Was that Maisel that said that? Doesn't mean it's the easiest way through necessarily. Doesn't mean that there aren't some mountains to climb over, some things to negotiate. But it is always the best way. But you've got to stop. He won't get very involved if you don't ask him. You've got to stop enough just to say, and it's not like he's mad at anybody. He's just like waiting. He's just waiting. Just waiting to help. He's not mad at you. He's just waiting to help. And the instant you turn and say, "Would you help me?" A smile comes on his face. He says, "I'm so glad. Nothing I'd rather do than help you." There you go. Second, get a few key truths. We're going to talk about those. Just find a handful of key truths. Now, I know people would say scriptures, but just some truth from the Bible. Get some truth from the Bible. We're going to go into it. Get a few. You don't need a ton. Some of the most diligent Christians I know, in terms of their Bible reading and all those kind of things, and I commend that. I'm not putting down that. But that actually doesn't fix everything. Some of those people are some of the most frustrated and difficult to deal with in relationships. Get a few key truths. Meditate daily on those truths. Now, I've talked a little bit about this week, haven't I, in the e-thoughts. I hope you're getting those. I hope you get time to unpack those. I try and make them. There's only a couple of minutes worth of thinking in there. But they're designed to bring light into your life. Meditate on these truths. Think on them. Chew them over. We're going to talk a bit about that. And the fourth thing is, treat yourself with grace and royalty. Look at yourself. God says he's made you kings and priests, yeah, to him. He's the King of Kings. You're a royal priesthood, 1 Peter says. Are you with me? And sometimes, often, Christians are so hard on themselves that if you were a royalty, and you spoke to somebody with royalty like that, it wouldn't go, it just wouldn't work. We damage ourselves because we don't treat ourselves the way we really are. Have some grace with yourself. Let yourself make a mistake and not believe you're a complete write-off loser. It's Satan that tells you that in your ear. Ah, yes, you made another mistake. Yeah, you really are a mistake maker. I mean, I suppose you're saved, but you're barely saved. And on and on and on it goes. You've got to stop treating yourself that way. You've got to. Father's not like that. He's like, I mean, you're not as bad as the prodigal son, I would have thought. I mean, some of you might be pretty bad. Don't nudge the person next to you now. Some of you might have made some mistakes, but most of us are probably not quite in the category of spending half of dad's, half of our inheritance on prostitutes and wasting it on riotous living. And then ending it up in such a trough that we can barely get enough food to eat. And we've got to eat pig's slop. I mean, most of us are not quite there. And yet God, when that guy just turned, God wasn't just like, okay, well, I'll let you in. God was like, we're celebrating. Party time. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a ring. You're my son. Ring on your finger. Staring, gazing. Waiting for him to return. That's what God's like. The instant you turn, he's waiting for you to return. He's so happy to see you. Are you with me? So we're going to talk about just a few things here along this line. Let's have a look at that. So those four things. I want you to just look at these verses. This word meditate, take a note of this for a moment. We're talking about how to make these adjustments to your self-perception. To meditate, to think on, this is what it means. To think on, to chew over, to put it before your eyes. I wrote that in the ethos this week, Proverbs 4. Don't let the truth of God depart from your eyes. That means for me, one of the things I do is put it up on a little wall, and a little half a wall, and a little half a kind of study area I have. Because I've noticed that. I was away now in Sweden. Where was I? Denmark. I was in Denmark. I was somewhere, and I found a place that's quite a big building. It's a Bible college kind of situation with a four-story kind of thing. And so I found a place to pray, and I just noticed that it had very little on the walls. And so I just then mentally think of a verse or two or a truth or two that I'm with me as I'm praying there. But if I'm in a room where there's all kinds of not evil necessarily, but just not the Word of God, just stuff, noise. And I'm getting myself into a prayer zone, and so I'm seeking God, and I'm just walking up and down and praying quietly in the Spirit and talking to the Lord about things. If every time I look up, because you kind of transition, you're not unconscious, but you're becoming less conscious of this world. Do you know what I'm saying? But if I've got all this stuff, if I've got an ugly painting on the wall, or I've got some worldly thing, or a photograph of some television program, or something like that, it hinders me from praying. Are you with me? Because your eyes are part of the gate of your heart. And so you don't have to do it. I'm not saying you have to do it. But sometimes just one or two truths, simple, not a whole passage, doesn't have to be a whole passage. You don't have to learn it off by heart. That's not really probably going to help you much. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying being able to quote, well, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, that's great if you can quote that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your heart's changed. But the person that meditates stops and thinks, all things work to, am I called by God? I love God? Yeah, I do. No, I do. And am I called according to his purpose? Or I certainly feel called. He's called me. Am I yielded to his purpose? Yeah, I am. So then all things are working together. Everything's working together for good. This is, and then, but how can that happen? I mean, they just repossessed my car. Yeah, but all things are working together for good. And you start to meditate on it. And you start to walk down the street like I do down this room and pray and start to think it's working together for good. And sometimes thoughts will come of things that on the surface level didn't work together for good. But I'm starting to. Now, to start that practice, which is called meditating, is going to actually help your life. To be able to quote, all things work together for good for those who work, is not really necessarily going to make any difference at all. Can you hear what I'm saying here? It's important because it's time. It's time for us as God's people to actually walk in and enjoy what he's provided for us. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he said. That's why I said there's just such a massive transition coming in the church right now. Because God is opening, heaven is opened over our nation. The Holy Spirit is breathing, and people are going to start to see, and you watch, people are going to start to see and hear things. People are going to turn to Jesus that you would never have expected. People are going to start selling out their lives to God and give everything to him. Young people are going to say, well, I've got that opportunity, and then it's not like they're going to be stupid, but their heart will beat for God more than it beats for anything else. That's what's coming right now for our nation. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here. But I want to prepare you, I want to help you, because there are ways to enjoy everything that God's got for you. So there's these verses, you see, these handful of truths. And let's look at them real quick. I've got a couple of quick ones. I've picked three, okay? You ready? Yeah. It's good. Just three. I know we're a little bit slow. We're just processing through that, but give me a few minutes to get on to what I want to say to you. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? But he does. That's the context. What's people that you should think about it? But he does. Human beings that you should care for them. You made them only a little bit lower than God, and you crowned them with glory and honor. That gave them charge of everything, and you put all things under their authority. So that's a great thought. I'm crowned. I'm a little bit lower than God. And I'm crowned with glory and honor. Now, that word crowned is not the crown around your head. It's the crown like glory all around your life is what it means. Good. Emanating from every part of you. Like an aura, that kind of. You're just crowned with glory. Just close your eyes for a minute and see yourself surrounded with the glory of God. There it is. All around my head, down my arms, down my legs. Glory and honor. And honor. There's honor all over my life. This time when I walk into Sainsbury's, I walk in as a person with honor all over my life. When I go to bed, I'm lying down in that bed and I am surrounded with glory and with honor. Now that's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. But if you don't meditate, I just took you through about 15 seconds of meditating on the truth. If you don't meditate on it, you'll live as if it's not true. And that's what happens to most Christians. Are you with me? Yeah. So that's just one thought. That's just one scripture. Just a couple. Look, here's another one. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you and I'll never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord's my helper, so I will not fear. What can mere people do to me? Hebrews, some people can quote it, but there's a difference between quoting it and it being alive in your heart. How do you get it alive in your heart? You meditate on it. It's a creative process. You think about it. Some of you guys sit here today and you say, well, I'm just an angry person. I'm just, you know, when things go wrong, it gets to a point, you know, it gets to a point where I've had enough and I get angry. And you think that's just me. No, you meditated on that. That's why you're like that. You weren't born that way. Maybe you saw your parents do that. Maybe somebody treated you a certain way. Maybe that's the television you watched a lot as a kid. Maybe the heroes on the rugby field or the football field or whatever acted that way, whatever. But most of what you have a certain way you're created. But you learn your behaviors. And a lot of people say, well, I can't, well, I'm just a bit negative. I'm just a bit melancholic. You don't have to be. The melancholic negative thing, which I was a lot as a teenager, goes hand in hand with the artistic nature. And so people that have a strong artistic gift or leaning that way tend to be like that. They tend to be moody. They tend to be good at art. They tend to be oversensitive. I was exactly like that as a kid. But I trained myself to behave a certain way. You can't just say, oh, that's, I can't change. Totally you can change. Totally, you can, what is this like? God just conditioned me to... No, you're born to have victory. So the upside of that melancholic type of personality would be that you're sensitive, you're probably thoughtful, you're probably good at remembering details or birthdays, you're probably tidy, not necessarily, depends on the combo. But you've got a heart, you appreciate beauty, and all those things are beautiful. You can paint, you can do certain things, or you can play music, and it makes a beautiful environment. You can do that. That's the upside. You want to keep the outside and ditch the downside. Whereas we thought, now, of course, that's the area, however you're made. If you're a passionate person, make it happen person, you know, which is great to be around people like that. Yeah, you get with this person, you feel, oh, this is going to happen. This girl is going to make this happen. That's wonderful. But those people on a bad day are going to be impatient, short-tempered, two-pointed, because that's what goes with that personality. So that's okay. That's all wonderful. Then you've got the laid-back people. You see, the laid-back people are just easy to be with. They're just nice to be. They're very non-demanding. You mind if I eat this? Yeah, sure. You mind if I flick the television over? No, it's all right. It's like everything's lovely, isn't it? Unless you want somebody with a bit of an opinion. So where are we going holiday? Yeah, wherever you want to go. See, so every God made, and these are just very broad brushstrokes. But here's what you got to know. God made everybody specific, individual. These are broad brushstrokes. You're magnificent. But don't buy into the idea that just because you're this kind of personality and you have historically, or you tend to, or you feel like this, that means that's the way you've got to act. You can change how you act. Completely. By meditating. By believing what God said. The Lord is, so a tender person can be a fearful person. And I'm afraid that this is going to happen. Well, you don't have to succumb to that. But if you grew up with parents that tended to be afraid, tended to be negative, tended to worry about what might go wrong, then it's highly likely that you've embraced some of that because that was the environment you were in. That's just the way you were trained. But you don't have to be like that. You can meditate on this. God, we are God's masterpiece. Here's the third verse. Everyone say, I'm God's masterpiece. Created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good things he planned long ago. You're God's masterpiece. So if you slip up, if you fail, if it doesn't work the way you want it to, you're still God's masterpiece. Are you with me? Let me show you a little thing with my whiteboard and then we're done today. Where's my little thingos? Are they here? Oh, there they are. Good. Okay. Let me give you a couple of scenarios. You still with me here? I want to give you a couple of common scenarios of the way people feel. It's a little bit of a small whiteboard, but here's number one. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4. Just typical things. Number one, I feel angry because, and we're talking about relationships. We're talking about how we feel about ourselves. Are you with me? I feel angry because the car cut me off. The guy just drove in front of me, you know. I didn't like the look of him even when he drove past. You know what I'm saying? I got angry. Here's another one. I'm annoyed because my job area didn't work. I feel annoyed. Why? Because I went for a job again and I've been going for a ton of jobs and my job failed, or the sale I was going for, the guy promised he'd buy it, whatever, it failed. Are you with me? Just common examples, pretty good, helping you. Number three, I'm disappointed because of the way my child is behaving. And it could be a lot of reasons why you're disappointed, and there's a lot more feelings than just five, but I'm just picking up five. I feel disappointed. Why? Because I had so much hope for my child. You know, and you don't know what I've gone through, because actually I had two children and I lost one. So now I've got one, and that kid can do really great, and he wastes his time and he wastes his money, and now he's 25 and he's going nowhere. You bet you feel disappointed. Are you with me? But these are real life scenarios, and it's not like Christians don't go through them. We do go through them, so we have to be able to face them. I'm hurt. I feel hot. Why? Because it was my birthday, and the people that, two of the three people that matter the most of me, people forgot my birthday. Ever had that happen? I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to be like dependent on people, but you know, come on. It's like, it's only my sister and she forgot my birthday and I'm hurt about that. Or I feel offended is another word you could put there. I'm offended. Anybody relate to any of these? They forgot my birthday, or they forgot that they owe me £500. Like from 6 months ago. Or they forgot that when grandma died and left they got more than I did. But they forgot. They've forgotten that now, of course. Are you with me? All these kinds of things. This is what happens in relationships. I got one more for you. I'm fearful I'm defeated because that's another one. I feel either fearful or I feel defeated because at this stage of my life, I thought I'd be further along. I've not arrived at what I was hoping for. That's a big one. I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50. These are very real feelings, aren't they? You with me? You still there? So now what happens here? This is what we do. Anybody ever felt those things? So what we do with those five, and I've got to change my diagram a bit, but here we go. As soon as we start thinking about that, and we all do, now we have allowed five negative, destructive emotions to be painted on the palette of our heart. Are you with me? I'm not saying those things don't happen. Cars do cut you off, jobs will fail, children will fail, people will forget you, and you're going to feel like you haven't arrived. Those things happen. But when you allow yourself to meditate on these feelings, all you're doing on the palette of the heart, life of your whole life, is painting a picture of five different negative things, and they're all destructive kind of thoughts. They all won't help you. And then what comes out of that is that you believe, and this is very common, you believe, this is who I am. I'm not talking about, there's two sides to this. One is that I'm a person whose child doesn't do what it should have. I'm a person that people forget. I'm a person that hasn't arrived. That's one thing. But the other thing is you believe that you're an angry person. Well, because I felt angry. So therefore I'm an angry person. But that's not true. You're a new creation. Now that, are you with me? I'm an annoyed person. I'm a person that gets hurt and offended. I'm a fearful, and because you feel certain things, you've assumed that that is who you are. And then you live out of who you believe you are. But that's not who you are. They're just emotions that you feel. These do not have to dictate to how you respond. Are you with me? You can feel them, that's fine. Faith in God, the Christian life, doesn't deny what we feel. It doesn't pretend it's not there, but it wins in the midst of it. So we're going to talk about, okay, how can you handle that if I feel angry? And I've got just 2 minutes to wrap up and tell you this. But let's go through this. The car cut me off. The car cuts you off. So what? Is that really the end of the world? Stay with me. Is that really the end of the world of a car? Maybe the guy is rushing to hospital because his wife just got ill and he doesn't know whether she's alive or dead. Maybe he got up really late and he's got a massive job interview and he's been out of work for 12 months and you don't know, grab a seat, good morning, hi. He's been out of work for 12 months and you don't know any of that and he's just anxious, he's not quite himself or she's not quite herself. And so they go rushing off and they've cut inside of you. Maybe they didn't see you and they cut in front of you and they didn't even realize that they're doing it and they are feeling like, oops, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm sorry, mate. And you're going, or whatever you do, don't say you saw that in church. I know you've never, you probably don't know what that means, do you? You've got to see the Mr. Bean movie and you'll find out what that's in. But you've got angry, you see you've got annoyed. But really, why don't you just think, hey, just let him go. The emotion to feel angry, if you've practiced that for months or years, which you have, then it isn't a magic switch of just the Holy Spirit will touch me and I won't feel like that anymore. It's realizing that because you're feeling those emotions is normal, but those emotions do not have to dictate to you. Are you with me? And it's the true of all these. Disappointed, I feel offended or hurt because people forgot my birthday. Now, the wonder of how God works is that these things are going to happen to you because God wants you to come to a place where you go through all this stuff and you don't get rocked by it. It's okay. They forgot my birthday. It's okay. Well, I don't need them to remember my birthday anyway. I never liked them that much anyway, really. See, that's how you see it on TV, you see it in the movies, you hear it on the music, and all it is repeating a kind of emotional-driven self-perception that ends up in defeat. No, you're not. Didn't it just say that God will never leave you or forsake you? Didn't we just read that one? So somebody forgot me. So maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they've got amnesia. Maybe they just don't care. So what are you going to do now? So I've got some members of my family that are deliberately not, don't even care enough to remember me on my birthday. So? Do I have to have a big drama about that? What kind of a life am I? Am I living a life where I'm going to put pressure on everybody that you have to treat me a certain way or I'm going to get the hump? Because that's what it says. And what it's really doing is it's allowing your peace, your joy, your sense of value, your sense of happiness to be dictated by how somebody else reacts. And that's what most people do most of the time. And that's why most people end up with a whole lot of not very happy relationships. You see, you can't control what anybody else does. Let me assure you, if I haven't offended you already, and I may have done, I will at some point. If you've got married, that spouse is going to tick you off at some point. Your boss is going to annoy you at some point. People are going to mistreat you at some point. It's going to happen. And sometimes God allows it to continue to happen because what he's trying to get you to do, and he's very patient, he's not angry, he's just trying to get you to a point where you learn to respond differently to that stimulus. Because there's no such thing as a magic band-aid of grace where you don't have anything to do with it and all of a sudden you just don't feel hurt. No, the grace of God comes on your meditating on what he said and realizing that I'm surrounded in glory. I mean, if I'm covered in glory and God is with me and I'm his masterpiece, then what a tragedy for the relative that forgot my birthday that just didn't realize who I was. What a shame for them. You're just as valuable whether they remember you or not. Amen. You see? But what's happened is your emotions, you read it a certain way, you've trained it over and over again, so you go quickly to, they don't care. And now what you're really telling yourself is, and I'm going to be upset because somebody else doesn't care. Well, what you can say is, I'm going to be happy no matter what you do. That's called living in the grace of God. It doesn't matter what they do. They disappointed me. My kid, you know, I mean, and here's the one I've been through with some of these things at a pretty reasonable level. And when you go through them, it isn't fun. So I'm not standing here saying, you know, this is a piece of cake. What I'm saying is it's doable. And I'm not saying it is like it's all human effort, behavior transformation, all that kind of stuff. What I'm talking about is what you believe about you comes on what you meditate on. You keep watching movies, television, you keep playing in your mind, you know you've made a mistake. Or when you're young, you ever done that? You're young and you like the girl or you like the guy and then you'd say the wrong thing or you do the wrong thing. And then for the next 3 hours, you're like, next 3 days, you're playing it over and over again. I should have done that. Or you've been in a meeting with somebody important, or you know you're trying to organise a new school for the kid. I should have said that. Oh, I should have said that. I should have said that. And you replay and replay and replay what you didn't do. You can break that. You don't have to replay that. I'm just going to replay something else called the glory of God's on me. And when you keep meditating on the negative, and then you think reading the Bible for 5 minutes a day or listening to it for 35 minutes on a Sunday morning will automatically go away. You see, that's what we've got to change. And I forget who was it. We've had a few people speaking to us this morning about church just not being, you know, Christian life is 7 days a week. And it's glorious. You imagine what it's like. Because you imagine what it's like for people to do something to you that used to upset you, offend you, tick you off, and now it doesn't. You've learned how. It's not learnt works getting right before God. It's learnt to access the grace of God, which is there all the time, and to believe what he really said about you. That's how Joshua took the promised land. He said you're going to have to meditate on the word day and night so that you can, so it becomes so much a part of you that you can actually do it. And when you change how you perceive yourself, then you are automatically changing how everyone else perceives you. Doesn't mean everyone's going to like you, because nice guy that I am, believe it or not everyone likes me. I know some find that hard to believe, but it's true. Come on, let's close our eyes. We're done. Lift your hands just toward heaven. Father, I want to thank you for your presence. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your beautiful people. I want to thank you for the truth that sets us free. It's not the truth that sets us free, it's knowing the truth. And right now, we just turn our eyes towards you and say, Holy Spirit, help us. Speak to us. And we meditate on what you said about us. There's glory on our lives. You're with us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. We're your masterpiece. Thank you, Lord. Let the grace of God just so come on our perception of you, Father, and your love for us, on our perception of ourselves, that we start to fall in love with you, fall in love with ourselves in the right way, fall in love with people all around us in the right way. This is how all men are going to know that we're your disciples, because we love one another. And until we love us, we're going to have great trouble loving one another. Let that grace come upon us. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. God bless you, church. You happy this morning?
Yeah.
Nice to see you. Nice to meet you guys. You came in just at the end, but God bless you. We're so glad you're here. We're going to have...